All right. So, so funny. A lot of the parents are downstairs, but raise your hand if you were once a kid. So everyone will associate with this moment. Okay. So, don't you love it when, how do I say it? It kind of stinks when someone else ruins it for everyone else on the playground. Do you ever have that moment? My JV students know about this. Okay. they know. All right. So, imagine yourself at a birthday party and your parent gives you this birthday gift you were so excited about and you always wanted. And you started playing with the gift, but then the wrench happens because there were other kids and maybe siblings that wanted to then play with your gift. Lane knows, he's a parent, okay? and then sometimes we have that selfish moment because we just don't want to share. And we cross our arms and go, no, it's my birthday, it's my toy, and it's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. And we have a fit. and it kind of does a little bit of a buzzkill for the party. Come on, parents, raise your hand if you've had these moments. Kids, raise your hand. Well, if you were a kid and had a moment like this besides myself, sometimes we just don't want to share. And our loving parent takes us aside and tries to, you know, kind of give a teaching moment where, you know, we realize it's not all about us and the party winds down. And they try to teach us that we missed an opportunity to share because it would have made the party all the better, right? When you got to share your new special toy. Raise your hand if you can associate with this moment. All right. You know, thankfully, we serve a really great, loving Father that is even more patient with us in that scenario and even more giving because he has made it so much easier on us because he has given us all these gifts in life. How many people realize the gifts that they've been given? And they're not always financial. They're in people. They're in stories that we've been given, life lessons. How many people have a lot of wisdom for all the mistakes we've made, right? Okay? And how many people have realized that God has given you abilities to do things that you could never do in your own strength? Oh, my goodness. And with that gift, we receive these things by faith, and it's a spiritual inheritance because we're his kids. We're his sons and daughters, and we don't have to earn his blessing. Isn't it so good to realize that the blessings of the Lord, the spiritual inheritance that we have, is in context to family where things are freely given just because he loves us? All right, so, you know, I'm not going to review because I spent way too much time last time reviewing. So just go back and listen to my messages on these three chairs. So I got chair 1, 2, and 3 on the stage. And I want to talk a little bit about a moment because I just described a moment in chair number 2 at that little birthday party, right? And chair number 2 is us Christians that sadly sometimes pursue blessing and inheritance as something to be achieved versus received. And we get really kind of emotionally kind of caught up in it. And when we read the promises of God in the Bible about the spiritual inheritance that we've been given as sons and daughters of Abraham and the blessing, we forget the context is actually an identity and intimacy, closeness with a loving Father. So we think we have to achieve it. And I'm going to describe chair number 2 Christians, and I don't have time to go into it, but I'm of a generation that we had some extremes that were preached and got twisted. Anybody, I'm 40. Anybody around 40, give or take a decade? Okay, so you will remember this. And, you know, there was a time where we forgot the promises and the blessings of God. We got it out of context. We got in chair number 2 where, remember, it's the kingdom of self, where it's all about us. And we go straight for the Father's goods when we read the Bible. And they go, and there's some, I'm just telling you, I'm going to hit some labels here. They call it the name it and claim it extremes. They call it the extremes twisted of this prosperity gospel. And we read these things, and that's mine, and I'll just take it, and I'll claim it. And we forgot it's not about the stuff. Raise your hands if you've realized life is not about the stuff. The blessings of God are so much further and so much past us and so fathomless of the goodness and the grace that God's given us. And it's in context. I'm going to talk about it because we've been talking about God's family. And I'll tell you, it brings it all to balance because the inheritance is best understood from the perspective of chair number 1. Chair number 1 is all about the sonship of God, right? That we are sons and daughters of God simply because we put our faith in Jesus and we got adopted in. And all of a sudden, this unconditional loving context and this relationship with the Father, these blessings and this inheritance, it's not just all about the money, 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 right, guys? It's the goodness of God. It's his grace. It's his divine ability and his blessing, his favor, just because he loves you, is received by faith. It's not achieved. And it's about walking in that closeness, and you get a revelation of it. And as you naturally start growing in your closeness with Father God and understanding all that you have access to in his goodness, in his grace, not because we deserve it, because he loves us. What we should be getting is a revelation that every single person in this room is a spiritual mother and father, big brother, big sister, auntie, uncle, grandpa. We call them, my family's pop, pop, and pop, pop, pop. You know, for everyone we get an extra pop on there. It's in context of family, and we have a spiritual inheritance. And what do you do with an inheritance? It is for the next generation. And I don't want you to get stuck on age on this one, because sometimes we think that I got to be a certain age till I have enough wisdom to give to the next generation. I look for a kid. Did you know that I made a ton of mistakes? How many people made a ton of mistakes in your 20s? It's a decade of ridiculous mistakes, okay? And how many people were so excited you didn't have social media in your 20s? Because you just never happened, you know? Now there's documentation. If you have a story, you have a spiritual inheritance to pass down to someone else, because they're not going to make the same mistakes as you. And they're going to learn from this thing called wisdom. Wisdom and ability and understanding. And it's incredible because it's for other people. So when you fully receive your inheritance, you do it by, number one, finding your identity in Jesus Christ, because then your story isn't shame. It's not embarrassing. It helps someone else. How many people have learned to not be ashamed of their story? Because God is using it to help someone else. How many people have learned, you know, we learn by mistakes, right? And we get this thing called wisdom. And we should be quick to give wisdom to other people. How many people God has blessed you financially, and you went through a season where you didn't have enough and you were buried in debt, and all of a sudden you have extra, and you are so happy to buy someone lunch that is in that same situation that you were. Amen? It's a pay it forward kind of thing. And it all comes out of this overflow from knowing that we're in chair number one as his sons and daughters. And I really want to build on this. You know, we hang out with God for who he is, because he's good, because he's a good dad. And if you didn't have a good dad, he's your good dad, okay? And we hang out with him because we love him. And when you hang out with him not to get something, but just to receive his love, when I hang out with him and I just want to look in his face and hear what's in Father God's heart, Jesus, what's on your mind today? You naturally get what is in his hand. So my grandfather's in heaven. We called him Pop Pop. We call my uncle Pop Pop Pop. But my grandfather was the most giving, generous, joyful man you'd ever meet. And you know, we love crawling up on my pop-pop's lap, and we'd sit there, and he had these big ears. We called them Buddha ears, because the older you got, the bigger your ears grew. And I remember, right, I remember sitting on his lap and reading the funnies, reading the paper, and he just cracked silly jokes, and he's always cracking jokes. And I would rub those little ears, because, like, you know, when you don't have a blanket, I just rub that little ear, these little comforting ears. And I remember in the age, I was a late thumb sucker. Anybody else besides me? It's just, they had to bribe me to get my ears pierced, but I would just curl up and rub his ears. And as I got older, I would still just sit beside him and just enjoy his presence. And I loved hearing his stories. My grandfather had so many stories of sometimes his wild days in the military and pranks. Oh my gosh, he was a prankster. And wisdom. And he was actually a businessman. And he was in this organization called the Full Gospel Businessmen. And I'll tell you, it was an opportunity to bring Jesus to everywhere you went. And he would tell people about Jesus. He would go to business meetings and take people out to a restaurant and buy their lunch. And after they got done talking shop and business, he would tell them what God did in his life and what God had done and transformed him yes, let's clap, because it's a good story, right? And this is what it is like hanging out with our Father God in heaven, hanging out with our big brother Jesus, wrapped in the arms of Holy Spirit. And what starts to come is this wisdom when you read in the Word. How many people, your heart's just full right now? Because it's about being with him. And here's the thing about my pop-pop's heart. He would always have some candy in his pocket or a stash, right? The candy jar, right? Grandpa's candy jar. And he'd slip you some candy. And when you got older, he'd slip you something called lunch money. And I remember going off to college, and oftentimes my grandfather would drive me to the airport because no one else wanted to get up at 6 a.m. for the red-eye flight. And my pop-pop would drive me to the airport, and he'd slip me some money. He goes, hey, this is lunch money. And it was way more than you needed for lunch. Come on, you could get lunch back then for like $5. Now it's like 11. But back then, and he'd give you like 20, 40 bucks. And I was like, and it wasn't even about, it's not about the money, right? It was about the loving Father, the time, the wisdom, the stories. It was just an automatic overall. This is a healthy relationship. This is inheritance that you invest a natural overflow with all the people you interact with. So I'm going to teach a little bit because I love to teach. We're going to dig into some scriptures. So I'm just going to just dive in, and I want you to go study. Go back and study. Next week, we're going to talk about the life of Jacob. Study him. And go and read Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Just camp out there for the next month. But these are Paul, the Apostle Paul, that used to be called Saul, right? And by the way, Paul was a spiritual father to people much older than him and much younger than him. It was his heart. It's not about age, right? Spiritual maturity is not bound by age. It's bound by love. So he wrote these love letters through the power of the Holy Spirit. God was speaking through Paul to us. And Ephesians, you see a building of order. The first thing you're going to see and write down is identity. So in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, it really blows open this concept of identity. And identity is then developed into something called intimacy or closeness, a loving, healthy, pure relationship with not only Father God and his son, but also church family. It's beautiful. And then it goes into inheritance. So identity, everybody say identity. Then say intimacy. Inheritance. Three I's so you can remember it, okay? So identity is chair number one. I am rooted in the sonship and daughtership of the Lord God. I am good with God. I'm right with God by faith. I am joint seated in heavenly places with Jesus. I am a joint heir, inheritance, joint heir with Jesus. All that is Jesus's is mine too, because I believe in him and I gave my life to him. So Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, Passion Translation, it starts out, his fullness fills you, okay? And then it goes into this, verse 4, it says, God still loved us with such great love, even when we were jerks, even when we totally messed up and our entire 20s has been deleted from Facebook, praise God, okay? And in our worst self, he loved us. In his rich compassion and mercy. Verse 5, and when we were dead and doomed in our many sins and shortcomings, our life before giving our lives to Jesus in chair number 3, he then united us in the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace and moved us to chair number 1. We always skip chair number 2. We don't want to sit there, right? Never his intention. Amplified Bible says this, he raised us together with Jesus and made us sit down together with Jesus, giving us joint seated with Jesus in heavenly places by the virtue of us being in Jesus. By the way, Jesus is the Word made flesh. So if you are in the Word and receiving God's love, you are in Jesus. Even you, and you don't feel like you don't feel him. Guess what? It's not about feeling. It is knowing. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is a deep knowing. It is a choice. I am in Jesus, even when I'm my worst self. I'm in Jesus. Okay. And then we become more like him. Where did I leave off here? Okay. Verse 6, he raised us up with Christ Jesus, and we ascended with him, Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Okay. Into this glorious perfection. I don't feel perfect. It's not about feelings. We are made perfect. We are made right. And authority in the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated with Jesus. So what happens? Identity as a son and daughter then leads to this intimate knowing. He loves me. Therefore, I can love him and other people. And then it goes into inheritance. And when you understand what your inheritance is, you start walking in your authority. Not to domineer the world, not about dominance. We got some things twisted in this things out of context when we talked about inheritance. And all of a sudden it's dominating the earth and our authority to dominate. No, we are to serve. But he has given us authority. You hear that? It's in loving context. Loving parents. I always tell this, all parents, you are the king and the queen of your house. And anything you say goes. And if they don't like it, it doesn't matter because you are the king and queen of your house, okay? You have authority not to domineer, not to dominate, not to push them down, but to build them up so they stand on your shoulders, so they go farther than you. That is a healthy spiritual mother and father. And that is the authority of the believer. Satan's under our feet, but the world around us, woo, we're to pour into, serve, love, to come into the kingdom of God. Now, you people that grew up in a certain message, you're now understanding that, right? You got that? Okay, terminologies that get kind of funny sometimes. All right, so number 2, so first one's identity. Second one is intimacy. When you know who you are and you know whose you are and how loved you are, you'll know what to do, right? It is then easy to cozy up in God's living room. I talked about that in my previous message, because it's not awkward running into the presence of God, because I'm close with my Father God. I'm close with my mom. Even when I'm a jerk, she forgives me because she's so good to me. I apologize all the time, right? Come on, parents, you know your kid can be a jerk sometimes, but they still throw open your fridge, and after they're having their little tantrum and fit, right? They love you. They just love you, and you love them, and you don't make it harder on them, okay? You're never going to be comfortable with the concept of God the Father, or even Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, unless you are comfortable receiving unconditional love. Spiritual maturity is not about how much you know. It is about knowing how much he loves you and receiving that love. Ephesians 2 verse 1, because when you get good at receiving his love, it says that he fills us. He fills us. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing empty in your life. I may feel empty, but you are not empty. He fills you. Now get close with him till he gets bigger in you than your insecurity. Okay. Ephesians 1, verse 22, it says, we were made full and complete in him who fills all things everywhere with himself. So when we fill up on the love of Jesus, it overflows, and this is the real spirit-filled life. It's not just power, it's power and love, right? And then it gets to overflow on other people around you. Investment, inheritance is to invest in the people around you. Ephesians 2, 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus by providing for our redemption. Grace, oh man, grace. Grace is so powerful. I'm going to teach it later. Okay, so next thing is inheritance. We're talking about what we inheritance, right? We are joint heirs with Jesus. We have unlimited, unmeasurable access received by grace through faith, not because we deserve it, not because we earn it. Grace is his ability despite our inability to do things and be what we cannot be in our own strength. Also, what comes with it is everything that was bought back at the finished work of the cross. Everything. Everything that you need in life, he has already provided for you and bought back 2,000 years ago. And you don't have to fight for it. You don't have to war for it. And spiritual warfare, I'm telling you, gets all twisted. And I have a whole other series. Once I get all this done, I'll dive into it. You don't have to fight for anything that was already won at the cross 2,000 years ago. Did you know? What? You don't have to fight for your healing. He is not withholding. It says in Psalms 80, it's the 84, I think it's verse 11, that he will withhold no good thing from you. He is not withholding. He is a giver. What? Okay, so that means you don't have to war for your freedom from addiction. What? He bought it at the cross, the finished work of the cross 2,000 years ago. You don't have to war for your security to get out of the insecurity. Why? Because it was bought back at the cross 2,000 years ago. You got to renew this brain in the Word of God, because I am in Jesus. Jesus is his Word. And so what you feel has nothing to do with who you are. Because you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I am free. I am healed. I am complete. There is nothing broken in my life. There is nothing missing. Satan has no authority on your life. You've already been given it. It is our inheritance. Now walk in it. I don't preach a lot, but it's warring inside me because I'm tired of people warring for something that was already given you. War to get your brain renewed. Another series. Okay, praise God. I don't even know. Did we do 2 Peter 1:3? By his divine power, his grace, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by faith, by, ready? Coming to know him. Hear me. Identity. I am a son and a daughter of God. I spend time with him, and now I really know how much he loves me. I am worthy of all that he bought back for me. I am worthy of freedom, healing, peace, identity. I am worthy to never have to spend another day depressed or anxious in my life. That's what he already gave me. We receive all of this by coming to know him, his character, his nature, and now we're able to walk in it. What? Identity, intimacy, inheritance. Oh, is Revelation me? I don't know. You might be excited about it. The one who called us to himself by means of the marvelous glory and excellence. We have full access by a full inheritance because he's a good father to full provision. I don't need to fear lack. Why? Because God has given me this thing called wisdom. Okay, ready? Ready for the prosperity message? Wisdom cries out in the streets. Wisdom says cut up your credit card. Wisdom says save your money. Okay, guys, hear me? I'm tired of people confessing scripture out of context and not using any wisdom. Can I get a shout? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get an amen? There's a Pentecostal in here somewhere. Hello, the prosperity message is in context of everybody go, wisdom. Wisdom cries out in the street. Use it. Stop naming it and claiming it. That's scripture out of context if you don't want to do the work. Hear me on that one? There are steps. It's called a budget. I'm going to touch something. I'm going to jump on a toe. I'm going to jump on it. Hear me on this one. I am tired of people. God, oh, thank you, Lord. Wisdom. Thank you, Lord. I'll say it nicer. Lord said, don't jump on their toes. Say it with love. My heart is breaking for the amount of funerals I'm going to because they did not use wisdom in their health. And these are my family, and I am tired of wearing that same stupid black dress because it doesn't fit anymore. But just saying, okay, please watch what you put in your body. Please take care of your temple, temple of Holy Spirit, because there is a bitterness and an anger that is formed in the next generation that's supposed to be receiving the wisdom of the gospel of healing because you are confessing that scripture that I am healed and whole in Jesus' name, but you are not using the wisdom. You are ignoring the doctor, and your kids are angry at you. And they don't want to hear about healing, and they don't want prayer. Is that okay? Can I say that in love? Wisdom cries out in the street. My inheritance is healing. My inheritance is provision. Faith works by love. Receive his love. Love the people around you. Use that wisdom. And we receive that inheritance by faith. Faith and love, okay? Is everybody okay? God, hot in here. I don't know. I got a little pit stand. I was like, a little pit. Woo! All right. All right, I'm telling you, I'm 40, and about 10 years up and 10 years down, people, you know, because there was a wrestling over some of the things I just addressed. And there are people that have turned off certain preachers and turned off certain family members and don't go to church because those two things were taken out of context. All right, sorry. Back to love of God. Okay, let's talk about the love of God. Love of God. Okay, Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Now you know why I had to chop my message. Okay, here we go. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Faith is trusting in God. Faith is confidence in God, okay? Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power, which is grace, to understand that all of God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is his love? Everybody go deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Okay, the love of God is so unfathomable. It is so not even three-dimensional. It is four-dimensional love. It is seeping in every nook, crevy, crack, broken part of your life, filling you all in all. And not only in the natural, in our emotions, and in our natural state, it overflows into the spirit realm and brings freedom and authority and peace and love and healing power wherever you go. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Inheritance is to overflow, to invest in the world around you. Identity, intimacy with God, inheritance to invest. Whew. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, but I'll spend the rest of my life doing it, and then all of eternity. And then you may be made complete with all the fullness. I keep talking this fullness. Pastor Sherry, don't feel full. Spend some time with him. Ask him to fill you, Holy Spirit, refill you, and get out of your feelings and get into the knowing. The fullness of life and power that comes from God. Paul writes about identity from the promises of God, right? First thing, identity. Second thing, he writes, rooted and grounded in the love of God to fill you up, the fullness of God. And then it goes into the third thing, and it breaks into this fullness, into this thing called inheritance, where God is able to do super abundantly. That means mind-blowing. Like, your context just went above all that we dare ask, think, or imagine. I'm going to do this little side note here. The parable of the prodigal son, which we talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about the prodigal son, was really about the loving father. We were taught about a spiritual inheritance that restores us, right? So Luke 15, 31 through 32, go back and listen to the message. But the father pulls his son aside and says, "Everything that I have is yours to enjoy." The father is trying to reteach, kind of just get some perspective that got all religious and out of whack, that through my eyes of love, I want you to realize there is an abundance of everything that Father God has is yours. All the inheritance yours, all the resources that you need in life to do what you're called to do. If you are called to have a business, if you're called to work in a business, guess what? All the resources that you need, all the doors that need to be open are yours. By our inheritance, God's going, stop worrying about it. Mike said, don't worry about it, right? Everything's going to be all right. That's our inheritance. I have more than enough to take care of you and your family. I have more than enough to provide for your career. I have more than enough that says, you know what? I'm going to give you wisdom and you're going to get a house despite this craziness going on. All right. Remember, God provided for everything at the finished work of the cross. I don't have to fight for anything he already bought. Otherwise, you're saying, Jesus, you weren't enough? That's what anxiety and fear and worry of lack says. Jesus, no, your sacrifice wasn't enough. I need to worry about walking in this healing, walking in this freedom, walking in this freedom from addiction, walking in this fear of not having enough, not being able to take care of my kids. Jesus, you're not enough. No, you are. Okay. I'm going to blow through this, but let me just say, go back and dig into Ephesians. I'm not going to quote scriptures. I'll say this. Ephesians 1 through 4 says we are holy and blameless, not because we feel it, not because our actions did it, but because he did it at the finished work of the cross. Ephesians 1, 5, we were adopted into his family as sons and daughters of God with full access. Ephesians 1, 6, I am accepted. He accepts me. And my mess. Oh, and he's going to clean it up. Okay, Ephesians 1, 6 through 10. He has completely set us free from the power of sin. Not I barely free from the old life. I'm not barely free from the mess ups and the addiction and the sin cycles. You are completely free. It doesn't matter how you feel. Ephesians 1, 11. This is the extravagant inheritance that we have. Everybody say inheritance. How many people excited about this inheritance? I am. I'm preaching. I normally teach. I'm preaching. Okay. And it is all guaranteed and sealed by the Holy Spirit here on the earth. And that's Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. He has provided everything that we will ever need. Philippians 4, 19 says that all of our needs are met according to the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Man, he's good. Ephesians 3, 20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. I love the Amplified. By the action of his power at work within us, his grace. In other words, from a place of intimacy with Jesus, from a place of closeness with Jesus, getting a reality of how much he loves you, when we understand how much he loves us, oh, how he loves us, we then realize all that he has given us. And we don't have to work for it. It is received by faith. And then we can ask from this place of relationship. It feels really natural. And we can move into a life of more that we never thought possible, into this fullness of life that starts to overflow out of us to the world around us. And when we ask God, God, I have worked night and day. I've done everything that I know to do for this business and the economy and something shut down and we're in the red. But I can ask knowing that my Father God owns, the scripture? He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. It's a lot of meat. I love burgers. Okay, meat's really expensive right now. So it's a lot. A moolah. He has it, his provision for the vision that he has given you for your business. His provision that he has given you for the education of your child. His provision for the things he's called you to do that we are totally unqualified for. Mr. Right? We are not qualified for what we're doing right now, but God is blessing it because he loves us. This is our inheritance. Inheritance overflows to investment and multiplication. From living a life of fullness, the true spirit-filled life, we are no longer living from a fear of lack or limitation. Well, I'm not good enough. I'm uneducated. I don't have the qualifications for this job. Why are you telling me to apply for it? He says, because you're my son, and I'm going to make a way. And you go apply for that job in faith, and you go get prayed up and get in the word and watch me move through your mouth. When you open it up, the Lord will fill it in that interview and blow them all away. And we say, I don't know. We got to get them. Well, I don't know. They want, better pay and benefits. They want health care. Yeah, I don't, Can we? I don't know. We got to get them. And the Lord will speak to them and make a way for you, not on your inability, but out of his ability, the inheritance. Okay. Whoa, scripture's so rich, and we kind of limited it. This is the prosperity message. You hear me? Can I reclaim that? I'm reclaiming a lot of things right now. Inheritance, his ability despite our inability. His goodness, ready? Because a blessing is not supposed to stop with you. And we're going to do a little of this, little wrist slap, and I did a toe jump, but it's not all about us. Inheritance is to overflow into investment into people around you. All right, John 1:16, it says, for out of his fullness and abundance, we have all received, all had a share. We were all supplied with one grace upon another, spiritual gift upon spiritual blessing. Let's see, and favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. Mom, can I have your water? Sorry, I'm family. I don't even have to ask. I'm just going to take it because she's my mom and she loves me. I kiss Brad, so it's all kinds of gross stuff here. I love you. Okay, it's great. Okay, I don't even have to ask. I'm just going to receive it by faith, right? Okay, there we go. Just take that. I just need a drink. All right, so there is an endless supply of grace, God's divine empowerment. What is grace? Grace is God's power and ability to do we cannot do. And it transforms us into Jesus' image. And all of a sudden, when you're being your worst self and all emotional, all angsty, and all in fear because you read too much social media posts and shared too many videos, and all of a sudden go, whoa, okay, God, I now need your grace because I'm just acting crazy right now. I'm being my worst self. I'm attacking people. Woo, okay. Jesus, you love me. I'm receiving your love. Oh, okay. Just get that adjustment. All right. And I am going to walk in the peace and the confidence that you have given me. Okay. Grace is God's divine DNA. It comes from this Greek word, charis, and what it means is God's character and nature freely received into our hearts and reflected in our lives. I'll preach it for 45 minutes, but I don't got time. That is what grace is. So when you read grace and you read divine power in the Bible, it says his mutant DNA gets on you like the green ooze and transforms you into his image. You get to mutate into the image of Jesus, which is always love, which is always power, which is always peace, the Prince of Peace. That is receiving grace. That is part of our divine inheritance. Grace supply is beyond what is sufficient. It is abundant. It flows from heaven to earth. When you are walking in the Word of God, the truth of my identity, and walking freely receiving his love, you tap into this inheritance where your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And suddenly this divine flow of everything that's in heaven comes to earth through you. You are a conduit of the grace of Jesus Christ. You are a conduit of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, and the power of the Holy Spirit, all those gifts. When we start walking closely with Jesus, we start being with Jesus, we start seeing what he sees, we start thinking what he thinks. It says in the Bible we have the mind of Christ. Then we start to love who he loves. We feel what he feels, compassion for a lost and broken and attacking world. And I've taught in the past, and then if you can feel compassion for them, Jesus will use you in the supernatural. Jesus was moved by compassion, and then he healed them. Miracles, signs, and wonders started happening among the lost because he was moved with compassion for the same people that later crucified him. Talked nice to his face and later just destroyed him behind his back, but he had compassion. This is the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, and this is the lifestyle that we are called to live. And it is living in share number one, where we have victory in Christ Jesus. I am not living towards victory. I am living from victory. I am living from healing, from freedom. It is mine because that's my inheritance. And now I bring it wherever I go, because my life is centered on the love of Jesus and his power, and I'm resting in it. So once again, everything that we have access to is not meant to stop with us. It is supposed to flow through us. Chair number two, in our selfish immaturity, we have made it all about me. And that's when church became this big, ridiculous bless me club. And it got weird. It got inbred. Got off track, people got bored, and then they started doing more weird stuff, okay? And then we started complaining and grumbling.
Well, I don't know why God's just not doing what he was doing before. Why is this not happening anymore? Oh, I don't like this department. I don't like how they did that thing. I don't like their group because this person's there. I don't like this thing. And we start pin-picking and grumbling.
And we got off track. It got twisted. What do I want to say? I think I'm off track, Lord. That's okay. It was never meant to stop with us in our churchy club. It was meant to flow through us. And I'll be real, a lot of people that are grumbling and complaining are not discipling anyone. The most negative people you'll ever meet are discipling no one. What is discipling? Follow me as I follow Christ. We'll figure it out together. Paul was a whole lot of a mess, and he was figuring it out by spending time with the Lord. Said he spent like 14 years just spending time with the Lord, okay? He said, follow me. I'm following Jesus. We'll figure it out together. I'm kind of a mess, but God's transforming me into his image, and he'll do it with you too. This is doing life with people. This is inviting people over to your house. This is grilling out. This is a grow group, and this is not the same grow group you've been in for 30 years with the same four people. This is a life bigger than yourself. Because grumbling and complaining and nitpicking and that critical judgmental spirit comes from people that are not truly in discipleship. Because I don't have time to be bored and get into grumbling and complaining and backbiting. Why? Because I am too busy just doing life with people and telling them about Jesus and figuring out wisdom and, you know, telling my story. I am too busy doing life, moving forward in a healthy way, to go pick apart the body of Christ and criticize the church down the road. All right, so this is my next point, moving on. Right. It's all about investment, not expenditure. It's all about investment, not expenditure. God's kingdom trains us for inheritance, investment, and then authority. Okay? Everybody open up your Bibles to Matthew 25. And this is the parable of the talents. Another title is the parable of the minas, which is a currency. So in the modern day, we might call it the parable of the dollars or the Benjamins, whatever, okay? This is a parable. It's a story, a teaching moment. All right, so I want you to say this. Jesus is always doing something in us so he can get something to us. He's doing something in us so we can love ourselves, so we can get in faith to receive all he has for us, so then he can get something through us. So don't be a lid of negativity. And don't be a lid of selfishness where you got no time to go disciple anybody else. Okay. God is willing to get as much to you as he can get through you. God is willing to get as much to you as he can get through you. So, you know, why am I not be promoted? Why am I not da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, what are you doing with this stuff currently? Are you walking in love? Are you walking in joy? Are you walking in peace? Are you speaking prophetically to build up, encourage, strengthen, and comfort people around you? Or are you critical, judgmental, tearing people down? Well, he's not going to promote you. Why would he give you more authority to be more of a jerk to people? If every dime that you get from the Lord is hoarded up so you can just get a bigger house and a bigger car and go on more extravagant vacation and buy stuff for your kids that they really don't need, take care of your family, bless them, but it's not supposed to stop with you. There's always supposed to be overflow. God doesn't want to give you an inheritance to use as an expenditure. That means it just stops so you just blow it. Okay? So I want to... This is my deep thought, and this is what got me up in the morning, and I rewrote a bunch of stuff. So he wants to give you an inheritance as an investment, not an expenditure, okay? So we learn from this parable that God rewards us when we invest and multiply, when we don't bury and hide our talents, our finances, our resources, our wisdom, our grace, our ability, and just keep it all about ourselves. Well, Pastor Sherry, I have kids and I'm too busy discipling my own children. Well, that's great, but it's not in the Bible. You are to take care of your children, but he has given you ability past your inability to bring more people into your life so they can learn how to be a great mom and a great dad because you're doing life with other people. But yes, take care of your family. Please take care of your family. You got to take care of your family before you take care of anyone else, but do life with more people. All right, so let's dive in. Okay, so Matthew 25, 14 through 29. You know the story, but we're going to read it because I think we're going to see it from a different angle. Heaven's kingdom is like a wealthy man, our God the Father, who owns cattle on 1,000 hills, okay, who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants, that means Christians, okay, and assigned his financial management over them. It's interesting, the Passion Translation calls this the parable about financial stewardship. It's interesting. It's investment. And it says, before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins. How many people would like a bag of 5,000 gold coins? Okay. Do you know there are just some people that just got more talent than they even know what to do with? Like, I can clap and sing at the same time because Deontay was on that box. It would have never happened without him, okay? I do not have the talent to do what they do. I can hold a tune within this range when the anointing is there. But some people just got a little extra of certain things. You know, there's some people, I love watching documentaries because I'm nerdy, and we were watching a space documentary about SpaceX, you know, and Elon Musk is, like, going to, like, Mars and doing I don't even know. Like, his mom walked out on him and his siblings, and all four of his siblings are, like, millionaires or billionaires. Do you remember? Some people just got a lot of talent. Some people just got a lot of extra gifting. Well, praise God for them. And I believe in Jesus' name they'll invest it to make the world a better place, right? But you might be the person that's like, I only have the 2,000 bag of gold coins. That still feels like a lot. You know, maybe those are people with really great social skills. You know, wow, you're just, like, really good with people. You know, I don't know. And then you're, like, the 1,000. One. So he gives three bags of coins, right? The 5,000 person, the 2,000 person, and the 1,000. And you might feel like that. You go, like, everybody's got more talent than me. Everybody has more financial resources than me. Everybody has just more abilities than me. It's not about how much you have. It's what you do with it. Okay? It's not about, you know, some people are like, I don't have a really powerful story. No one set me free from addiction. You know, I never was bankrupt. You know, I'm just little old me. Your story is powerful. Do you know what? If you can sleep all the way through the night and you're not having panic attacks, you have a powerful story that'll probably reach 75% of the world because they're not doing it. Your story is important. So share it and invest it. Okay, so it says, the one trusted with the 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with that money, and he doubled his investment. For all you math people, that's 10,000 gold coins. Okay. And this person with the 2,000 did the same and doubled it. And the one that was entrusted with the 1,000 dug a hole in the backyard and buried it. Okay. And after time had passed, it says the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. And the one who was entrusted with the 5,000 and got 10, he said, see, I've doubled your money. And the Lord said, commending the servant, the master replied, you have done well and proven yourself to be loyal, trustworthy servant. Because you have been faithful to steward, to manage a very small amount of talent, of resources, of a story, of wisdom. Now I will put you in charge of much, much more. And you will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, enter into the joy of the Lord. This is the Passion Translation. With whatever you have, with your little story, with whatever you have, maybe you have 10 extra dollars, you take someone out to lunch and you tell them what God's doing in your life, or you just start praying with them. You don't have much time, but you have this thing called texting. And you have one or two people in this church that you text every morning a scripture and you pray for them. 10 minutes a week. I only have 10 minutes. I'm a parent. You don't have, you know, you have no time. That's okay. God will multiply the little that you have. Remember, the widow woman gave her 2 pennies. She had barely anything, but God said she gave the whole world. It's all she had. If you'll only have 10 minutes a day and you invest it in someone else, God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Welcome to the delight. You will enter into joy and delight. All of a sudden, that angsty, angry, judgment, criticism, frustration, insecurity is just washed out, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, because you're seeing lives transform around you. And we often receive healing while we're praying for someone else to have receive healing. We often receive, we already have it, but walking in the fullness of it as we're praying for someone else. Anybody ever had that happen where you were believing God for a miracle and it wasn't happening and God just shut you up, or excuse me, Satan just shut you up, and then you're like, I'm going to pray for people to get this miracle even though I haven't had it yet. And boom, breakthrough happens for you both. Incredible. All right. It says then the one who had been entrusted with the 1,000 gold coins came to his master and they said, I was afraid. I was insecure. I was afraid. So I went and hid your money, buried it in the ground, and here it is. Take it. It's yours. You know, we sing these songs, you can have it all, Lord. I surrender, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm all yours. But it stops with you. Your life is an expenditure, not an investment, because we're receiving, but it ends with us, and we're not in a place of overflow. We are not, the Great Commission says, go into all the world and make disciples. Pastor Sherry, what's a disciple? I'm following Jesus. I don't got it all figured out. Come with me. Hear me. Doing life with people. And honestly, we got God in a box, and we got God in our little ruts, and we have him our little 30-minute quiet time in the morning, and, you know, our 10 minutes before bed, and we go to church on Sunday once a month. And, you know, I don't got time for a grow group. You know, I don't have time to, like, chase after people and call people. You know, if they want to be discipled, they can come to me. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of me, Lord. If you make it really easy, and they just come to me. Hear me. Burying it. We feel unqualified. Guess what? God uses complete messes. He actually purposely found them in the Bible. You're a complete mess. I can use that. God will get all the glory. Look at Peter. Peter just said more dumb stuff than you could possibly imagine, and God used him to change the world. God used Paul, a murderer. I mean, but the master said to this person, you untrustworthy, lazy. Ooh, that was harsh. That was even in the Passion Translation. Lazy servant. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank at least? Why didn't you at least give it to the church? You know what? If you're not going to be generous to anyone else, at least tithe. Because then the church will take your money and give it to other people. It always gets really quiet with the tithing. It says it in the Bible. So if you don't have time to disciple people, if you think you don't have 10 minutes a day or in a week, at least tithe. That's the least you could do, because then you can resource people that are actually going to take their 10 minutes a day and make some time for other people. I think I broke out in some sweat. I'm sorry. I don't know. Did I step on a toe? Just being real. If you don't have time, okay. Resource someone that does. Give to missions. Give to Tammy. Praise God. She's transforming lives all over Africa. But you do have 10 minutes a day. Pastor Sherry, I don't know. I'm joyful. It's fine. Okay. All right. If you had deposited the money in the bank, then I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and I'll give them to the one that has 10. Whew. I don't even want to go. That's hard stuff. There are hard truths in the Bible. We can't skip over them. If you are bored and frustrated, irritated, have nothing good to really talk about, you are not seeing lives transform, it's time for you to start doing life with people and get a little dirty and a little messy, because people are, and that's what's fun. It's kind of fun to get dirty and messy, you know? The kids were running around outside, you know, crawling up the dirt, and you know, they're having fun! All right, Lord. Whew. All right. I got 10 minutes, and let's see. So what are we really afraid of? Are we afraid that if we gave and spotted someone for lunch and gave them 45 minutes of our time and shared what Jesus was doing in our life and praying with them, are we afraid we would not have enough? We're afraid of lack. Well, I won't have enough time to do all the other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be, he will multiply your time. He will multiply your resources. Whew. Are you afraid of rejection? Get over it. Oh my gosh, we live in America. It's like so, it's hard, yes, but go to another country, okay? You know, I've been to Haiti. I've been to some really interesting places. And I'll tell you, if you can't take a little persecution, well, they make fun of me in the workroom. Well, get over it. And still invite them to go to church. Still invite them over. Ready? They won't go to church? Can you make some time? My parents would put out one extra place setting for my friend Amy, whether she came or not, and our family adopted her because her life was hell. Her parents were going through a really ugly divorce, and it was just bad. I won't even go into it. It was just bad. And we set an extra table, an extra plate every single day, and I'd say by the end of her senior year, she was probably there at least 75% of the time. And she saw family, came to this youth group, gave her life to Jesus, and God gave her her own family, a wonderful husband. She has two children. She's a nurse. She just needed a safe place. Can you cook one extra meal and invite somebody over? And if they blow you off, whatever, you got leftovers. You don't like leftovers, give them to me. I love leftovers, okay? Brad doesn't like leftovers. I eat the leftovers, okay? It's with the blessing we have, creating a little extra space. Can you create two extra seats at your Thanksgiving table and invite a family that doesn't have family, or maybe their family's not healthy, maybe they've lost? Can, just two extra, well, I don't know, we don't have, just squeeze them in, guys. And if they don't show up, bless them, it's okay. If we want to be entrusted with more blessing and resources, we need to invest it in others, disciple other people in this kingdom, because we are all building something. So I have a friend that has a business, and God's blessing it, and it's expanding. And they actually started another business and named it after their son. And it's still in the startup mode, but they did it because they're working so hard for the next generation to enjoy. So when the first generation builds a family business, they raise up sons and daughters to pass it down to, right? When a son and daughter understands and values what the parents have done, they will successfully steward that business and multiply it. The ceiling of the parent becomes the floor for the children, right? They'll stand in your shoulders, and it grows further. I was talking to Brian in the back. He's an electrician. He has his wonderful son, Dean, right? And everything you do in your business, you're thinking about your son. There's an inheritance, whether you pass that business on to them or you give them an inheritance at the end, but it's to pass on. It's not to stop, right? These are spiritual mothers and fathers. I have a family member that had a hobby on the side of fixing up Jeeps, and it was just for the fun of it. And then, you know, it built it into an auto mechanic shop. And then, you know, he did it to pass on to his children. And as his kids invested in it and valued it and looked for wisdom, it multiplied and grew. And not only does it affect a community, but in that expansion, it's also a light of what God's doing, right? This is investment. So you understand, how many people have a family business? And when you work, you think about your kids. We think about why we're doing what we do, right? Scott's got in the back there. Scott has a daughter. You're thinking about passing, you're working really hard for your daughter in that business, right, Scott? Why we do, this is called family. Inheritance makes sense in context to family. As pastors and teachers, grow group leaders, ministry directors, we are to lay a foundation for spiritual children, whether they're older than you or younger than you. These are the people we're discipling. When I said it doesn't matter how old you are, okay? We build on it. We make more disciples. Disciples are making disciples. What is that term? Follow me as I follow Jesus, doing life with people. If you think you're in leadership and you are not discipling anyone, if you are not doing life with people, if you're not praying for people, encouraging them, sending them a scripture, inviting them over for dinner, you're not making disciples and you are not fulfilling the Great Commission. Some people say they're a leader, but no one's following them. They're just going on a walk. And sometimes we make it about business mode, about building something, but not doing life with people and pouring into people our story, praying for people. This is discipleship. You got 10 minutes a day? You can invest in someone else. Matthew 10, 7 through 8, Jesus commanded us. Did it say he just nudged us? He commanded us. Go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. If you have received freedom in your life, healing in your life, freedom from depression, freedom from anxiety, you know, all of a sudden you own your house. Oh my gosh, that is a powerful testimony right now. You are to then give into people around you. Blessing is meant to overflow into others. It's never supposed to stop with us. Children of blessing are different than children of inheritance. It's a little interesting here. When you are a child that only understands blessing where it's all about you, we eat up the seed of our harvest. When you have a harvest, oh, thank you for the blessing. I'm going to go bake a cake and eat the whole thing myself. When God blesses you financially, we don't tithe. Why? Because I'm going to make the whole cake and I'm going to eat it all myself. I don't care what the Word of God says. And we then also forget, go, God, with this extra, with this abundance of harvest, who can I bless? What single mom in the neighborhood can I go pick up groceries? Gosh, just the time alone, she'd be so grateful just for your time even to go pick them up. Of the little that I have, what can I invest? Is it about the expenditure? I just bake the cake and eat it all up? Or is it about taking seed and planting for an inheritance that overflows? Why do we do what we do? In Haggai, I preached it in my idolatry series, but it's really interesting when we're so obsessed with building our own houses, building our own family, building our own physical children, that we forget that there are spiritual family all around us that needs you, that needs that investment. The book of Haggai addresses this when people, or the church, the church is people, it's not a building, right? When people's lives were just a total train wreck in the book of Haggai, the church, the building, that's what they're talking about. But people's lives around you are in a train wreck, and all we're worried about is building our own house, building our own family, our own children. Well, your children have friends. Can you invite their friends over? Can you show them unconditional love because all they're getting is yelled and cussed at home? But they can come to your house and see something healthy, or even see a healthy marriage for the first time in their lives. There is always extra. But when we selfishly eat up the seed of our inheritance, we're in chair number 2, And not only do you squander the harvest, but it also teaches the next generation to do the same. You will even teach your children. It's all about the stuff. It's all about us. You know, it's about our family. But that's not the kingdom of God. It's not spiritual family. Because if you live in a lack mindset, you'll always stay in lack. If you live in an abundant mindset, going, God, I have an abundance of love to give and no time, but you're going to multiply my time. Therefore, I have an abundance of time and I will invest it in other people. So we're to enjoy all the resources of being in Father God's family, but we're to enjoy it as spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, spiritual brothers, spiritual sisters, and invest it to people around us, to make disciples, to bring heaven to earth, to be conduit distributors of love, joy, peace, freedom, healing, resources to overflow into the people around you. And it's time to take responsibility for that purpose. And you go, I don't have enough time. Or you know what? I've been hurt. I tried discipling someone. I tried doing life with someone. All they did was stab me in the back and they were a taker. Well, guess what? Get over it. It's just called life. And the greatest adventure in life is doing life with people that are not your own blood. The greatest adventure in life is all of a sudden when we get in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, and invite in some messy people that might just kind of, you know, might get a little drama, you know, here and there. But guess what? You'll never be bored. And you won't have any time to gossip, complain, and criticize, and split churches. It'll be great because at least we'll be growing and transforming into his image. And for those of you that are doing it, and you're in a season where you're not seeing harvest, and it's just breaking your heart, the Bible says this in Galatians 6 through 9. It says, let's not grow weary and get tired of doing what is good. Let us not grow weary and get tired of doing life with people. Let us not grow weary and get tired of people that you've tried to help and they stabbed you in the back. Let us not grow weary and get tired of all the pain and the suffering that sometimes you experience because you're bringing healing and freedom to people around you. Because it says this, but at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And with that story, you will transform lives around you. Everybody stand up. We're just going to pray. Worship team, you don't have to get up there. We're just going to just pray really simple. We're just going to close our eyes and I'm just going to quote something to you. I'm not even going to read it. It's Matthew chapter 9, 36 through 38. And Jesus was moving about a crowd of people and they were pressing in on him like a mob and they all wanted something from him and there was only one of him. And it said that he looked out and he saw them and they were so broken and so hurting. It said they were distressed and harassed. They were just desperate. And he looked out and he said to his disciples, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that they would send laborers because the harvest is ripe and plentiful and the workers are few. And we read that and we pray for God to send someone to our relative that lives all the way across the United States. So we pray that God would send someone to, you know, our son and daughter that didn't come home. And God says, I am, but I am also sending you in the meantime to be a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a spiritual brother, a spiritual sister, to build up, to encourage, to bring comfort, to find a scripture to encourage them. The harvest is so ripe. I talk to people in this church all the time, and honestly, they're telling people about Jesus, and they got more people than they even have time. And I'm saying this, that there is a wealth of wisdom and stories and love in this house. And I beg of you in this season of we are in revival and we are in an exponential growth, I beg of you to take your bag of 1,000 gold coins of love, joy, peace, wisdom, and unbury it and do life with people. The harvest is plentiful. In this church, the workers are many, but it's time to connect. If you have a teacup and if it's not connected to a saucer, there is nothing for it to connect and overflow into. If you are not connected to people outside of your direct family and your small friend group, the overflow of all that God has given you in abundance will not overflow unless you're connected. I beg of you, it's time. No more excuses. We stand before God one day and he's going to say, what'd you do with my stuff? And I pray he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful with the small. You loved them so much. No one else saw them. No one else cared. No one else would give them a second shot. And you did it. Enter into joy and fullness with a life transformed. God, we love you. And right now, I just thank you that you are speaking to every person in this room to put you first and carve out time, Lord God, to spend time with you, to receive your love and get so full of you, and carve out time to connect with other people, to pass on that spiritual inheritance that you've given us. God, our lives are so full and rich in you, and we don't want it to stop with us. All that we have is yours. We pray you take it and multiply it and transform lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are loved and valued.